Well, ask anyone who has recently moved to the United States, and they'll tell you our systems of measurement don't seem to make any sense. After all, why are we bothering with inches and feet when centimeters and meters seem to work just fine everywhere else?
But how did we get to this point in the first place? Our next guest took a closer look at the origins of various measurement systems to see how they evolved.
Joining us now is John Bemelmans Marciano. He's an author and illustrator, and his new book is Whatever Happened to the Metric System: How America Kept Its Feet. John, welcome to Central Time.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
Well, from an outsider's perspective, our measurement system in the United States might seem bizarre. For us, though, for us who have grown up here in the United States, they just seem to click. Why did the U.S. end up with its own set of measurements while most of the world went with the metric system?
Well, it's really a question of, basically everybody else in the world had a system of measurement, originally extremely similar to ours. The change really started happening around the time, shortly after our revolution, when we adopted the U.S. dollar, which amazingly was the first truly decimal system of measurement that was ever created and used by a nation. It was devised mostly by Thomas Jefferson, and he actually had a plan for taking our measures to be all across the board completely decimal. At that time, though, this was the time of the French Revolution, there was invented the metric system, and Jefferson actually wanted America to consider what they were taking up.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us more about that. For a while, it seemed we were poised to adopt it, and then it never came to pass. What took us off the rails?
Well, we had actually flirted with the metric system pretty heavily. I mean, even George Washington had kept asking the Congress to look at it, but it disappeared from Europe and only really started to make any headway anywhere in around the 1840s. America looked at it then and pretty steadily looked at it right up until the First World War. Then it utterly disappeared from the American consciousness and kind of reared its head again in the 1860s. I'm sorry, in the 1960s. In 1975, Gerald Ford passed the Metric Act that was supposed to take us metric, and there was a huge push to do so, but it just never took.
Mm-hmm. Were there ever any sort of geopolitical reasons for that? You mentioned that it was on our minds up until about World War One or something. Was there any reason that we would want to, for example, distance ourselves from the European way?
Well, the metric system was kind of sweeping the world in the first part of the 20th century. And then with the onset of the Great Depression, kind of all nations retreated into, into nationalism. Internationalism was on the downswing. So places like Japan that were converting to metric actually abandoned the program. When it really took hold worldwide was in the 1950s. Most of the English-speaking world was on either the customary system of measures, which is what we use, or on the British imperial system. The real push for us actually came when the British decided to adopt the metric system, which they had really resisted, but it actually became a condition of their joining the European community.
Talk a bit about the origins of the metric system itself and how, centimeters and millimeters and those units became really the core of the system itself.
Well, the idea was actually that the world, the circumference of the Earth, one meridian, was divided into 40 million parts, and that 40 millionth part of the Earth was 1 meter. And then essentially everything else was slotted in decimally. So a hundredth was centimeter and a millimeter and so on. So it was this idea of connecting the measurement system to the Earth. One cubic decimeter of water was the kilogram, and the liter was also connected. So it was this idea of this really comprehensive system of measurement.
And you had mentioned earlier Thomas Jefferson's role in developing our current currency and everything. Draw the link for us, though, between the metric system itself and dollars and cents.
Well, it was this idea that had come up during the Enlightenment, during the the middle of the 17th century, where decimal, I mean, it seems almost impossible for us to imagine, but the decimal point was only, I mean, decimal fractions, the decimal point was only invented in the 16th century, and it really didn't catch on at all until the 17th century. And even at that time, it was only used by the elite of the elites. It was really only around the time of the Revolution that it became right up there with literacy. So decimal fractions was a really new idea. If you think about, they're actually very artificial creation. I mean, if you imagine trying to cut a pizza into 10 pieces, it's pretty hard. If you wanted to, for instance, one of the most typical things that a person, you know, would do when they were shopping would be to buy cloth. So if you wanted to buy a small portion of cloth, you would buy something like an eighth of a yard. And the way this would be measured out would be they would fold the yard of cloth into halves, into quarters, and then into eighths, and they would cut it from there. When the metric system was first introduced, that eighth of a yard became 0.125 meters, which was one-tenth plus two-hundredths plus five-thousandths. It was an almost incomprehensible amount of math for people who were really not used to, forget about decimal points, they weren't even really used to multiplication or division. So it was really only when people started getting decent math skills in the middle of the 19th century that something like the metric system was even possible.
Mm-hmm. And we also differ from the world, we in America, with temperatures. And while the rest of the world is measuring the temperature in Celsius, we're in degrees Fahrenheit. How did we end up with the Fahrenheit system?
Well, this is one of the most interesting ones for me, because where you can make an argument that there's a lot more sense in dividing, you know, the meter into hundredths and thousandths than it is dividing the yard and the foot into, you know, well, the yard into thirds and the foot into twelfths. Both scales are actually decimal. I mean, 100 degrees is 100 degrees no matter, you know, which scale you use. The fact of the matter is that the Celsius scale, whatever you choose for the temperature of freezing water or boiling water, is actually quite arbitrary. There's nothing that says a temperature scale needs to be based on that. What the Fahrenheit scale's weakness is actually that it has negative numbers. It really plays havoc with doing any sort of calculations, scientific calculations. Mm-hmm. And the Celsius scale really just made that problem worse. So even in the actually officially sanctioned measures of science, the SI system of measurement, Celsius is only a secondary measure. The real scale that scientists use is Kelvin, which is based on absolute zero.
Right. Well, John, thank you so much for joining us today. We have so much more to delve into, but we'll have to check it out in your book. Thanks again.
All right. Thanks a lot.
John Bemelman's Marciano is an author and illustrator, and his new book is Whatever Happened to the Metric System, How America Kept Its Feet.